Hello everyone, welcome to Rafi with a Y, and I'm your host, Rafi. Here we talk about ways to make your life better, current affairs, politics, and everything else that comes up in life. In this episode, we have with us Brendan from Canada. He's a communications expert, personal coach, he works at IBM, and he's someone who's really good with a microphone. Before we get into details of what he's involved in, Brendan, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Of course, Rafi. Thanks so much for having me. So yeah, my name is Brendan. I'm the founder of Master Talk. I make YouTube videos on public speaking. And my goal in life is to empower every change maker to have access to the right communication tools to share their ideas with the world.
Right. So let's start the discussion off with Master Talk. Would you tell everyone what Master Talk is and what is your aim and vision with this brand of yours?
Yeah, for sure. So I thought maybe it'd be easier to just talk about the story behind that. So when I was in university, I used to do these things called case competitions. So for those who don't know, a case competition is, think of it like professional sports, but for nerds. So a lot of people would practice, you know, sports, you know, cricket professionally, hopefully go pro. They practice 3-4 times a week, 5 times a week, their coach is yelling at them. We did the same thing in presentation. So I presented 3, 4, 5 times a week for weeks on end. And after many years of presenting hundreds of times, and after I got a job in consulting after I graduated from university, I asked myself, how can I transition just the money in my pocket to make an impact in the world to my time and expertise? And that's when the idea for Master Talk came, because I realized that a lot of the information on YouTube on public speaking was really bad. There wasn't that great topics, there wasn't the great information out there. So I wanted to share a lot of the content I was teaching my clients for everyone else to learn from.
Right, so I've been through your channel very thoroughly, and I personally love the content you create. So you clearly have a lot of experience speaking at various events now, but when did this start for you? And what I mean by this is, when did you notice that you are good at public speaking and you want to pursue this at a professional level?
Of course, it was mostly towards the tail end of my career. This is especially true with anyone listening from, you know, the Asian community or the South Asian community. Our singular focus in life is just to get a job, right? So we do everything. In university, we do all the right things. We get all the right extracurriculars so that hopefully, you know, with the right grades, we can land a job, you know, at a great company. But right. After we do that, the new question becomes, what now? Okay, we did it. We got the great job. So for me, going professional as a speaker was never on my mind. It was mostly just focusing on getting that job. But the second after I got it, I immediately asked myself, what now? Like, what do I do with my life? How do I make a better impact? And a lot of the students I was coaching in university, they kept asking me the same question over and over, which was, Brendan, how did you learn how to speak? And I never really knew the answer. I kind of just said, well, I practiced a lot and I figured it out. But over time, I realized that I was a self-taught coach and I was a self-taught speaker, because I just kept teaching myself because I was presenting so much. But they kept asking me again, like, is there any YouTube videos you learn from? And that's what sparked the idea for the channel. So I probably thought about going professional the last 6 months of my undergraduate degree.
Right. So let me share some personal experiences with you regarding public speaking. So during my college days, before any presentation or public speaking event, a lot of my classmates used to say that they're an introvert and they're not really comfortable with public speaking. So what would your advice be for them, for introverts who are really anxious before speaking?
Yeah, for sure. So for introverts specifically, what I would say, and I have a video up there on my channel as well, but the idea is super simple here. You need to leverage the strengths that you have. Most introverts don't really get the powerful skills that they have as speakers that an extrovert like me takes years to build on. And that's the key to public speaking. We're always good at one thing and terrible at another. So I'll give you an example. Pauses and silences are probably the most important skill in public speaking and the easiest to master, where you pause for effect. But here's the deal. With introverts, that's much easier to pull off because they spend most of their time alone anyways. So for them, pausing for a few seconds for effect comes very easy to them. But for someone like me who likes to talk a lot, who's always talking on these podcasts, pauses is much more difficult because it's harder for me to stay silent while everyone else is silent. I always want to fill the hole with more words. So that took me a very long time to get right. But for a lot of the people I've coached over the years who are introverted, that's an example of a skill that introverts do well. Another one I can point out really quickly is listening skills. Since introverts spend a lot less time talking than someone like me, they spend a lot more time listening to their audience, which means they're a lot better at tailoring their presentations to their audience versus someone like me who's always yapping all the time and I can't hear what the audience is actually telling me to do. So the point is simple here, Rafi, is whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, the first step to public speaking is understanding what you're already good at, understanding the cards you already dealt, and working backwards from those cards and saying, I'm good at 10% of this, I'm good at 50% of this, how can I cover the rest of my gaps?
So this is what happens with me as well, like what you just said. When I am due for a public speaking event, for example, if I'm supposed to talk for 5 minutes, I write a big script. I'm usually bad at impromptu speeches, so I usually go scripted. So what happens is I just read it out very fast and my 5 minutes speech is done in under 3 minutes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, impromptu is challenging. And I think the key is there's kind of like a transition in our public speaking journey. You start with memorized speeches. So this is for absolute beginners who just presenting on a stage is already a big win for them, even if they do a terrible job. So that's a good start. But then as we transition, we get better at speeches. Then we transition from memorized speeches to prepared ones. So now it's, okay, I gave this speech. I can give it without, you know, puking everywhere. I'm very confident as a speaker now. So now what happens with prepared is now you're forced to talk about general ideas instead of everything line by line, word for word, pronoun by pronoun.
Right.
Then you get more used to that. But remember, during this entire journey, what I want to emphasize, and this is what most speakers don't do, is you need to present the same thing over and over again. What most speakers do is they do a presentation for 2 days, move on to the next one. And that's not what the best speakers in the world do. They present the same thing hundreds of times. Think about Gary Vaynerchuk. Think about Tony Robbins. Think about Mel Robbins, Esther Perel. A lot of these folks, they present their own topic and it's always the same thing over and over again.
Right.
And then the last transition from prepared to impromptu, where I guess you're at right now, where you're kind of wondering, okay, how do I do this? Now you transition from no preparation.
Right, exactly. That's where I'm at. Let me actually tell you a funny story before moving on to the next point, which is a couple of years ago, that was the first time I had to do a public speech. So my family, they have a school here in my neighborhood. So I had to do a speech in our Victory Day here in Bangladesh. So we basically, my father established this school in memory of his late father, right? In memory of my grandfather. So he's like, read my speech and I'll give an impromptu speech later. So I went on to reading my speech that we established this school in the memory of my late father. And my father's just looking at me like,
oh, right, because he's like, I'm not dead yet.
Exactly. So I was just reading off his script without even noticing what I was reading. So that was a very rough start, but, you know, we all got to start somewhere.
That's something, all right.
Right. And it was in front of, like, an audience of around 200 people. So it was very awkward that day.
Oh, good, man.
Yeah. So I know that you have a private coaching program, which is personalized to each individual that signs up for it. And you don't take more than 10 people at once so that you can really give everyone individual attention. Can you tell me a bit more about that and what someone would learn in your program?
Yeah, for sure. So one thing I want to emphasize with the program is it's definitely not for most people because I fill up those spots pretty quickly. So what I would say instead is let's talk about how you can go from a beginner speaker to getting as better as you can as quickly as possible.
Sure.
So the starting of your journey is very simple. go find yourself a Toastmasters club. I'm a big fan of Toastmasters. I'm a member of Toastmasters. I think they're great. And I think it's a great way for you to stay accountable to public speaking at a very low price. And they have clubs around the world, including Bangladesh. So I would definitely check that out and join a club. So that's the first step. And because it's not very expensive, right? I don't know what the price is in Bangladesh, obviously, but it's not something crazy.
Yeah.
And then after you join the club, what you want to do is you want to use a lot of the videos. So all of the content I have on my YouTube channel, that stuff I coach one-on-one with all my elite clients. So CEOs of companies, entrepreneurs, things like that. So you can, but those videos are available for free for you to consume, right? So what I would suggest is now you start watching the videos, or, you know, you listen to other speaking coaches, their advice, and you take the advice and bring it back to your Toastmasters club. The reason why this is so important is because public speaking is a lot more fun when you're practicing together. This is not about I need to become the best speaker in the world and not everyone else. This is more about how do we all become better speakers together? Because that's what happened with me. I wasn't alone when I was practicing. I was with my friends and we were having a grand, just, you know, just yelling at each other, giving each other feedback. It was a lot of fun. And as we progress as speakers, you can use a lot of the advanced tips on the channel to get better as a group. So now let's move on from there. Now you get really good at speaking. You're much better presenting at work. You get a nice job at IBM. What's next? So then the last step is, if you're public speaking, why? If the reason why you want to master public speaking is so important that you need to invest a lot of money into it, right? So let's say you take the CEO of a tech startup. So he has this amazing product. She has this amazing product, but she can't sell it, right? She doesn't know how to sell it. Her technical skills are too strong, right? So what does she do? Well, she can't sell it that well, so she might hire a sales team or something like that. But since she's the CEO of the company, she needs a better way to say, okay, I need a better way to sell this. So what those types of people will do is they will hire someone like me, and they would be one of my 10 clients, because they don't mind paying me a lot of money for my time, simply because the speeches that they give are so important that they make back the money very, very quickly. So that's kind of how I see the progression. But for 90 to 95% of people, I would say, a speech coach is not a good fit for you, because we're just, like, just to give you an idea, speech coaches can range from like $200 to $400 US an hour, right?
Right.
And
right.
Most of the speech coaches at that level are terrible. Like, they're terrible. That's why, like, I make these YouTube videos so that you don't have to pay those rates. So I would start there. And then if you ever become a CEO of a company, if right. you ever become a leader of a movement, right? You're somebody like, for you, Rafi, if you wanted this podcast to be a top 100 podcast,
yeah.
then you're going to hire a voice coach, right? Because you want to make sure your voice is perfect. So that's
exactly.
the story examples that stand out.
Right. So when public, like for me, the biggest fear before I speak in public is that people, like the audience, I can't seem to, you know, capture their attention. And like first few minutes, they're okay. But then when I start getting technical, they usually get bored and nobody usually pays attention. So do you, like, my question to you is, what is your fear? You're at a professional level right now. So what is your fear now when you speak in public?
Of course. And then something I'll say, Rafi, that I think is important for everyone to hear, is that fear never stops. It's not something you get rid of. Anyone who promises you a zero fear is lying. There's always a new audience. There's always a new topic. There's always a new place or area that you've just not been exposed to in public speaking. It's a never-ending process. But the key difference is that your willingness to help your audience, your focus to serve them, needs to outweigh any fear that you might have as a speaker. That's the key. But for me, I would say the biggest fear I've had and will always have is letting down my audience. I hate wasting people's time. Like, I really don't like wasting people's time. So if I'm on a podcast, if I'm on a show, if I'm going to a workshop, if I'm giving the workshop, I want to make sure that every second someone spends talking to me instead of, you know, getting dinner with their families, instead of spending time with their loved ones, that I make every second count. So whenever I disappoint my audience, I get really frustrated. So I'm always focused on doing my best work.
Right. So the fear basically never goes away. It's always there in the back of your mind, and we have to live with it.
You got it, exactly. It just to be super like transparent here, like my story is something that might inspire you. Like when I was 5 years old, my parents came up to me and they said, "Well, Brendan, you live in Montreal, Canada, which for those who don't know is one of the few cities in the world where if you want to be successful, you actually need to know how to speak multiple languages, not just English or, you know, or Tamil or really any language or Hindi." But the idea is simple. I didn't know how to speak French, right? So I needed to learn it if I wanted to do well in the business world in the city. But I didn't know how to speak it. So for the first 15 years of my life, not only was I uncomfortable with presentations, I had to give presentations in a language I didn't even know. So the point of Master Talk is if I can do it, I'm pretty sure everyone in this call can too.
Right, because it's actually pretty impossible doing giving presentations in a language that we don't know. It's harder than it sounds, actually. Yeah, so what I wanted to ask is, are you into books? Do you have any suggestions for books if we want to master talking, public speaking? Do you have any suggestions regarding that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a very unconventional guy, so you won't hear typical book recommendations like, "Oh, you should read Dale Carnegie. I should check that out at some point." But it is the point is simple. There is only one book I recommend people, because if I recommend too much, then people just won't go and get it. So the right. book is called Thirst by Scott Harrison. So Scott Harrison is the CEO of Charity Water, and the reason why, and it's a nonprofit that helps people get access to clean drinking water. But the reason why the book is so important for public speaking and storytelling is because the only reason Scott Harrison was successful with his organization is how he leveraged storytelling and public speaking. So Scott speaks around 100 times a year. He has very, very high production documentaries. He uses every book in the box, essentially. He uses every tool in the box to maximize storytelling and public speaking. And the thing, especially in my journey as I'm learning these skills, is when you're listening to somebody on public speaking, listen to someone who's actually applying the result. The last thing you want to do in public speaking is to read a framework or to see someone who's not even applying the framework and just giving you the framework and running away. Whereas what I like about Scott's work is not only was he's built a successful organization from it, but he's done it on a very low budget because he's a nonprofit. And so that means he had to eke out every dime. And the book really details a lot of the storytelling mechanisms that he uses to get the people around him excited about what he has to offer. So I definitely recommend that as a book.
I'll definitely be reading this book. And now, since you've brought up Charity Waters, I know that you're involved in this organization. Can you please tell everyone what it is and how you're involved with it and what you have, like what the organization, what impact does it have in the world?
Yeah, for sure. I think one thing I would start with is my thesis, how I think the world's problems should be solved. So that may be useful to people. We waste so much time talking about problems, you know, "Oh, this is happening, this is wrong, this is terrible." But most of us don't spend enough time focusing on the solution. What can we do to fix something? So I've always pondered this question. What problem am I uniquely positioned to solve in the world? Which is the first question, which ended up being Master Talk, right? I'm the YouTube public speaking guy. But the second question that is equally interesting is not what is the problem I'm most passionate to solve, because passion is a very vague concept, but rather, what is the problem that is the easiest to solve? Out of all of the atrocities in our world, which one is the easiest? Because if we can solve the easiest, then we can focus more time on the harder problems. And that's when I found out about Charity Water and what they were doing with the water crisis, because they were able to solve over 1.5% of the entire problem. So for those who don't know, there are currently 700 million people in the world who don't even have clean water to drink every day. Imagine drinking dirty water every day. It'd be crazy, right? That's true with 10% of the population. So what's interesting is how effective the charity has been at eradicating the issue. So their organization alone has helped 10 million people out of those 700 gain access to clean drinking water. So they're clearly moving in the right direction. So for me, the question through my involvement, whether it's my income, my resources, or my influence, is focusing singularly on that one problem. So my suggestion to people is it doesn't need to be charity water. For me, it's charity water because I respect the founder and what he's doing. But for you, it's don't waste time trying to solve 10 problems or you won't solve anything. Look at examples like Dr. V from Aravind's Eye Hospital that created one process and improved how we operate cataract surgery in the world, to different ways of looking at philanthropy, but focus on one problem and tunnel vision focus on it.
Right. So this charity sounds pretty, like, you know, helpful, and it's having a positive impact on everything. So is there any way that me, or if any listeners might want to get involved here, how would they get involved with Charity Waters?
Yeah, so I think what I like about Charity Waters is it's actually super easy to get involved. I would say the first step, which kind of ties into my book recommendation, is checking out Thirst by Scott Harrison. So all the proceeds from the book go straight to the charity. So even right. The author gave up the book advance and the proceeds just to raise money here. So definitely check that out, learn the story, and I'll also send you a 20-minute documentary that you can check out on YouTube just to get a sense of what they're doing as well.
Sure. So we can get involved in Charity Waters just by simply buying the book, and it also helps us regarding we get to know a lot of things and gain a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly. So apart from public speaking, you're also a business transformation consultant at IBM. Can you tell us a bit more about the work you do over there and how exciting it is to work at a company like IBM, who's, you know, internationally so significant in the tech world?
Of course. No, happy to talk about that. So I think the idea with IBM, or really any of the tech giants, is it's there's a reason why people want to work there. And I think the big reason is not because of the prestige, not because of the brand, even if those are great. For me, it's really been the people at the company. Like my leadership team, really smart people, super talented. And I think if you want to work with the smartest people in the world, you should either go work at a startup, you know, somebody who's really serious to build a business, or you should work at the most competitive companies, because the hardest companies to get into often attract the most talented ones. So I've been there for almost 2 years now. It's always been a dream to work there. And what I mostly do is I'm a consultant there. So I implement technologies across different industries. And I fly, like, so just last week I was on a call in Portugal. So, and I was working with a lot of the management team there for a food distribution client. And we were talking about, how do we transform the way that this business understands HR transformation and can better onboard a lot of the people that work at the company? And there's people from around the world on that call, like Switzerland, myself in Canada with my senior, Portugal, you know, people in India as well. So you're joining a really international team. So I think that the general idea is, if you're someone who's interested in consulting, I wouldn't just focus on the grades. I would focus on what is your unique contribution and how can you differentiate yourself from the rest of the pack who wants the same job as you.
Right. Very exciting. So we are nearing the end now, but before that, if you had to give some tips to the listeners who are at the very beginning stage of public speaking and they're really nervous to even get on this stage, and, you know, when like, for example, I know some people, when they want to speak, their like throat dries up and they can't talk. So for the absolute beginner stage, what would your tips be for them?
I would say the biggest one, Rafi, is care enough to crush your fear. If you care so much about your audience, if you know why you want to master communication, it'll be so much more easier to go up there and give a speech. I'll give an example. The first step is finding your public speaking why. So what does that mean? That means asking yourself fundamentally, why is it that you want to master communication? And it doesn't need to be, I want to be a professional speaker. That's not all what I'm trying to get at here. It's just about, well, how would the world change if I became a better speaker? And the world, the more specific you are about that answer, the more enticing, the more incentivized, the more excited you'll be to master communication. So I'll give an example. So let's say an example of an answer here could be, oh, well, you know, I could present better at work, but that's not very motivating. You're like, okay, I can do that. But what if you get what if you're involved with the charity outside of work and you're working with the charity and they need your help raising $100? So you try and get a presentation together to present in front of your classroom or your classmates or to people around you. Now your incentive for public speaking is a lot more higher. It's a lot more important because you're not just presenting for class or work anymore. You're presenting for a higher cause and a purpose. The same example can apply if you can solve a problem for someone. So let's say you're a marketing genius and you're mentoring a group of kids who want to learn more about marketing. So even if you're not the number one expert on marketing, doesn't mean you can't present on it as long as you're teaching somebody something. So now your passion about marketing, you're getting better. So anyways, the first piece of advice that I have is find your public speaking why. Get specific about the reason why you master public speaking and then go from there and be amazing. And then after that, going back to caring enough about crushing your fear. Once you care enough now, you know your public speaking well, you know what's happening. Now the only thing left to do is not just study your audience, not just think about your audience, but talk to them. Have conversations with them. Get coffees with them. Get dinner with them. And through talking to them, what you'll start to understand is why you're even presenting in the first place. So a quick example here is, let's say Rafi comes to one of my workshops and then I get dinner with him after and I ask him how the workshop went. He would probably say something like, hey, Brendan, you know, I've been going to a lot of these public speaking workshops, but this workshop was really clear. I understood a lot of things. Thanks for taking the time of your busy schedule to do this. So from these conversations, I can see I'm having an impact. So why should I be scared of public speaking if it's helping people?
Right. So one of the most important thing to take away from this is to start with why. It's also the name of one of my favorite books. Actually, an earlier guest suggested it to me. It's from Simon. So I don't know if you've read it or not. It's actually pretty famous. Start with why. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, so I haven't read the book, but I'm a big fan of Simon's work though.
Right. So so it's a good book. You should get it. And this his book aligns with a lot what you just said. The thoughts align. Right. So this is the final question I ask to all the guests before ending the show. That is, how has the quarantine period affected your workflow?
Yeah. So for me, it's been interesting in the sense of I give a lot of speeches across the world, and I do a lot of conferences where I just attend to meet people, and obviously all of that went to zero like in 24 hours. So I think the idea is it's definitely going to affect you, right? And it's affecting us in all different shapes and sizes. But I think the key is that I want to emphasize for everyone is once you understand who the real enemy is, you're going to go back to work. So what do I mean by this? A lot of people get this confused. They think that if you ask them who their enemy is, they'll tell you something like, oh yeah, it's my friend, or this guy who dumped me, or this partner that doesn't like me, or this teacher who gives me bad grades. And you're all missing the point. The real enemy, and the only enemy that we all have, is time.
Right.
It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many resources you have. It doesn't matter how much you yell, you scream, you shout. Time always wins in the end because none of us are mortal. So time is the real thing you should be mad about, not your cousin. So right. Now that you understand that time is the only enemy that matters, realize that even if we're going to be stuck indoors for who God knows how long, the same amount of time is still disappearing. Is still running out. That's why I'm on this show. Instead of spending time sitting alone and crying about the fact that I can't go outside anymore, why don't I just make something of it? Okay, Rafi's got a podcast. Let me go add some value. I don't usually go on podcasts, but now let's do it because I got a lot more time. You know what I mean? So just figure out ways to repurpose your time. Even if you're not a business person, is it reading more books like the book I suggested? Is it training, upskilling yourself? Is it having cool conversations with people like Rafi, use your time wisely because you don't get the time back.
Very well put. Okay, so before we finish this out, can you tell everyone where to find you in social media and anything else you might want to add?
Yeah, absolutely. So before so social media is super simple. I always tell people when I'm on a show that I'm not as famous as Rafi. So feel free to just message me directly on Instagram. I'm not famous at all. So I'm at Master Your Talk. So you can message me there if you have any questions, concerns, anything you want to talk about. I answer all my DMs. And if you want to check out my videos, it's Master Talk in one word. So if you have any questions about that, feel free to send me a message on Instagram. As for the advice I want to leave you all with, since I know most people are listening are probably from the South Asian community, there's this adage that I live by that I would love all of you to take into account in your own lives, which is be insane or be the same. If you want to be like everyone else, that's totally fine. You want to get a job in engineering, you want to get a job in computer science, doctor, lawyer, whatever you want to do that everyone else wants you to do, then go do that. But if you want to do something different, if you want to do something special, if you want to do something unique and important, then I encourage you to practice being a bit more insane. What does that mean? What you'll notice is that everyone who's successful in life that has done something important have always deviated from what normal people do. And from that, the best way to practice that is to be a bit more insane. So now the exercise is, how do you do it? What I recommend people to do, and this is going to be very scary for a lot of you, but if you can do it, I think you'll discover a new path to being successful, is communicate all the weird things that you do on a daily basis that are not illegal to all your friends and family. And I'll start because I like leading the example. I love Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift. I think they're amazing artists, and I don't care really what anyone else says. My favorite hobby in the world is I dance alone in my basement for an hour. And my favorite other hobby in the world is asking people very uncomfortable questions about their life. See, notice the confidence that I exuded in communicating all these weird things.
Yeah.
That's where I want you all to be, because we're all weird in our own way. We just choose to hide it. And if we start to communicate it a bit more, we'll start to use our own uniqueness to our advantage. I mean, look at me. I started Mass Talk when I was 22. Right? Who am I to teach public speaking content? I spend every day making YouTube videos, not on vlogs, not on comedy, not on a podcast, on public speaking tips. How weird is that? Right? So do something that's unique to you and you might do something magical.
Right. Brilliant advice. Thank you very much, Brendan. I'll of course keep in touch with you, and I'm really excited to see all the new contents and public speaking tips you come up with.
Of course, Rafi, thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. We'll speak again soon.
All the best. Thanks so much. Cheers.
Thank you guys very much for listening to this episode. If you have any ideas for future episodes, if you want me to discuss on any specific topic, feel free to hit me up, go to my website, you'll find how to contact me and leave your suggestions there. And hope you all had a great time. Peace.